Leslie Jones is an African-American comedian and one of the Ghostbusters in the all-female reboot of that movie. And you might have heard that earlier this week, some of her detractors took to their keyboards to attack her on Twitter. They hurled racial slurs, compared her to an ape. They sent her pornographic images. Leslie Jones fought back, but when the abuse became too overwhelming, she quit Twitter. That's something that local writer Ijeomu Olowu has experienced as well. She says the online abuse directed at women of color in particular is usually an organized campaign.
Every day there's something. You will get something every single day. You will get a message about, you know, why are you all on welfare? You know, you should all be in prison or you should still be slaves. And those you actually kind of brush off. Usually every other day or so, there's a death threat of some sort. And you brush those off. But what happens then is your name will pop up in a Reddit thread or on some obscure website. And suddenly you have dozens at a time of, you know, images of dead bodies, rape threats, racial slurs, and it's nonstop. And the goal is to really overwhelm you and make it so that you can't enjoy anything on Twitter and you can't get your message out because you're too busy defending yourselves from these people.
How does that affect you?
You know, it weighs on you, and sometimes at first you don't realize how much it is, and it kind of builds up. When we look at, like, these last couple of years, when we talk about things like Black Lives Matter, and we're talking about these really sensitive subjects where people are, you know, dead in the streets, and then you get messages repeatedly reminding you that people think that you should be dead too. And you see this time and time again, and you're already raw, you're already hurting, you're already wondering if your kids are safe. And then you get messages from people saying that everyone that looks like you should be killed, or that they're glad that these kids are dead, and you should be next, or you should have never been alive in the first place. It weighs on you, and you start, you know, you get this pit in your stomach when you log on, because you have to see the good things that are being said, and you have to see that your word is getting out there and that your work is getting out there, but you don't know what comment's coming next. And you'll get a comment that says, great, I love this article. And then the next comment will be, I hope you die. Mm. And, you know, it's a gut punch. And eventually you get so tired, you get so weary, you start to forget that the world is a better place. You start to forget that it's not filled with hate. And that's what they want. They want you to really believe that everyone hates you. They hate you because of the color of your skin. They hate you because of your gender or your sexual orientation. They want you to believe that you are not safe anywhere. And you really start to feel it. You get so tired. You get really weary. I mean, there are times where I don't want to see anyone. When I spend all day getting messages of hate from strangers, and then someone says, hey, do you want to go to a party? And I'm like, more strangers? Oh, no, I don't want to go anywhere. And you do. You stop going out. And I have a lot of other Black women on Twitter who've said the same thing to me. They're like, I don't go anywhere anymore because all I get is hate from people. And I know somewhere inside that when I go to this party, someone's not going to walk up to me and shout the N-word at me. But it just makes me not want to be around people.
So what is your response to that? I mean, what do you do in reaction?
I report everything I can on a regular basis in the hopes that maybe one day it will be taken seriously and so that other people don't have to suffer the same abuse. It depends on my mood. If I can just block people, I will block them. If I want to try and make light of it so I don't feel so constantly beat down by it, I will try that. But when you have dozens of these, there's really no way you can react that's going to mitigate the situation. So, you know, for me, it's hard. My work is on Twitter. I can't avoid it. Without it, I wouldn't have a career. I have, you know, 27,000 followers. It's where I get most of my writing out. It's where I flesh out ideas. It's where I find out what's happening in the world and have really important conversations. So oftentimes I have to make a choice. Do I take a couple of days off and miss important stories that I could be writing about, miss important conversations I could be having, miss the opportunity to get my articles out there to my audience? Or do I come and suffer this abuse in the meantime? And that's a decision that so many public figures on there who really do rely upon it for their jobs have to do. And when we talk about women of color, LGBT people, disabled people, these are people who don't have as regular access to mainstream media as other people do. And so oftentimes, this is the only place they can, you know, get their voice out there and be heard. And I think that's why we often are targets. It's because people know that this is important to us, and they know that we are being heard on this platform, and they want to make sure that we are paying this horrible tax in order to be heard. So I'm hoping, while we still have this platform that can do so many great things for voices that normally aren't heard, that these platforms will take notice and make real, concrete, lasting change to the way in which they protect people from hate speech on these platforms.
Do you see a way to do that, though? I mean, given that, you know, Twitter has millions of users, and as you say, this is a fairly widespread problem. How do these social media platforms control the folks who are using them? And isn't there a kind of question about, you know, this is the internet, it's supposed to be free. How do you crack down on speech in a way that that doesn't crack down on free speech?
Yeah, and that's a good question. I know that a lot of people are concerned about this, but Twitter and Facebook and all of these platforms have terms of service that everyone who signs up for these platforms agrees to. And in these platforms, you're not supposed to be able to send racial slurs, rape threats, death threats. You're not supposed to organize harassment campaigns against people on these platforms. So they are in direct violation of the rules that were already set forth. You know, this should be automated for a lot of this. There are words that you can easily flag. So if someone reports someone said the N-word to me, they should be able to do a quick scan and say, oh, there it is. And, you know, here's your first warning. Maybe second one's a suspension. Third one, you are no longer allowed on the platform or something like that. But it should be fairly easy. I mean, they are able to flag for copyright infringement all the time. I mean, if you want to have a post removed or be suspended, try putting up a copyrighted video and that'll happen instantly. So if they can find that, but they can't find people shouting, you know, the N-word at people by the dozens, you know, that kind of makes me wonder what they're doing with their time. Right now, the onus is completely on the person being abused on these platforms. So when you report a comment for hate or for anything, you have to, you know, say what the problem is. You click through all of these boxes. Then you get an email saying, please clarify exactly again what happened. So if you're getting 30, 40, 50 of these a day, you're having to reply back with an email, find those original tweets, state what happened. And then time and time again, they go, we've reviewed this and it doesn't violate our terms of service. I've literally had dead corpses, pictures of dead corpses sent to me. And the response I get back is this doesn't violate terms of service. So if they're going to say that they're doing it, if they say they're going to review it, if they're going to make us go through all that work, a cursory glance, anybody with eyes could see that these are threats, that these are violations of the terms of service. And all that I want and all that many people on these platforms want is just them to enforce the rules that we've all already agreed to.
Do you ever have people say to you, hey, look, this is the price you pay for being on the internet, for having all the good things that you get? You just have to develop a tougher skin, you know, just thicker skin, put up with it.
You know, I would say we should never put the onus on the abused to accept abuse. Like, we can't continuously adjust to hate. We can't. Why would we want to acclimate to hate? Why would we want to live in a world where we shrug off violence, where we shrug off death threats and rape threats? I don't want to live in that world. I don't want to wake up one day and go, you know, somebody hopes I get raped today. I don't ever want to feel like that's okay, because it's not okay. And this does contribute to an environment where we are telling our kids that it's okay. And the line between what's a joke, what's a prank, and what's real is more and more blurred every single day. So to say, just brush it off, I mean, chances are if you're saying that, you are not someone who has to face it on a regular basis. I'm usually hearing this from people who, you know, at most someone calls them a jerk if they don't like something they say online, because they don't happen to belong to a group that can make an easy target for these sorts of slurs and this sort of violence. But I don't want anyone to ever be okay with these sort of attacks, because once we say that it's okay, it's just a small step for the action to actually be okay.
Ijeoma Oluo is a Seattle writer and editor-at-large of the online magazine The Establishment. She wrote an article in The Guardian about the online abuse that caused actress Leslie Jones to leave Twitter. We're tweeting out a link to that piece now.